वेलकम टू द इक्विटी सही है पॉडकास्ट विद मोतीलाल ओसवाल एसेट मैनेजमेंट कंपनी। दिस पॉडकास्ट विल डेल्व इनटू द इन्वेस्टमेंट इनसाइट्स एंड फिलोसफीज ऑफ मोतीलाल ओसवाल एसेट मैनेजमेंट कंपनी एंड स्पीक अबाउट द फ्रेमवर्क्स यूज्ड बाय देम टू असेस वेरियस सेक्टर्स फॉर इन्वेस्टमेंट। फोक्स, वेलकम टू द शो। माई गेस्ट टूडे इज श्रीनाथ मिथंथाया, सीनियर वाइस प्रेसिडेंट एट मोतीलाल ओसवाल एसेट मैनेजमेंट कंपनी। नाउ last week we spoke about the wealth creation studies, those very detailed reports that Motilal Oswal does on the wealth creation topic, which is itself a very very deep topic because there are a lot of ideas, a lot of themes that create wealth. In that episode we spoke about the theme of value migration. Now that's going to be the topic of today's episode, value migration. Srinath, welcome back to the Equity Sahi podcast. Thank you so much for doing this for us. This is a really interesting topic, right? So you had mentioned it in our last recording and in our last episode. So let's start from the origin of the concept, right? So, you know, what exactly is value migration, number one? And how is it different from, say, something like value creation?
Value migration was first introduced by an American consultant by the name Adrian Slowetsky in a book he wrote way back in 1995. This book, our chairman Ramdev Agarwal came across through his voracious reading habits. What he found that it's a very powerful concept, but maybe the book has got relegated to the management sphere because he was a management consultant. That book never got applied to the sphere of, in the area of investing.
Correct.
But Ramdev Agarwal found it very powerful, and he was probably the first one and maybe even now the only one to implement that concept in a big way in investing. Hmm. So what is value migration? It's a absolutely simple and amazingly powerful concept. So what it says is value, and value defined as profits and hence market capitalization, value migrates from old business design to a new business design, what we call an outmoded business design to a new business design, which better fulfills customers' needs and priorities. So this concept is as simple as this one line. After that, it's all examples and what happens actually. And it is applicable across regions, across geographies, across sectors. Okay, so it's a absolutely universally applicable principle. So let's look at some examples, both globally and in India.
Maybe if you can just take a step back and explain the difference, you know, between value creation, like first to understand how value migrates.
Right.
Maybe we can first look at how value is created and then how it shifts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. So basically, we see only two sources of value, which covers the entire value chain, or we can say everything related to value.
Hmm.
The first is value creation and the second is value migration.
Okay.
So what is value creation? Value creation is a concept when there is a product innovation and value gets created for the first time. So call it a TV, a fridge, banking, travel services. So any service or product which is a hitherto unmet need, when that comes into being, value gets created for the first time. So that is value creation. So value migration is different from value creation.
Sure.
Value creation creates a whole fresh pool of profits, whereas value migration migrates that pool of profits to another new business design, which meets customers' needs better.
Okay.
So that's the basic difference between value creation and value migration.
Understood.
Yeah.
So I think now we can get into the specific examples so that the listeners can actually understand how this has played out in the past. And that also specifically from a company and a sector perspective. Let's delve into that right now.
Yeah, so let's get into both value creation as well as value migration through examples.
Sure.
So let's look at value creation in communication, for example. There was a time when there were no phones, okay, and hence no value in the telecom business.
Hmm.
And then came the landline phones. And over the years, value got created in the space of telephony.
Hmm.
Okay. And along with the basic telephone service providers came ancillary industries like cables, then telephone exchanges. So all of that also began to create profits and hence value. So a profit pool got created in the whole landline space.
Hmm.
But then that business design had its own limitations. Okay, people had to have access to a phone, typically at home or office. And once outside home or outside office, communication was really difficult. So there emerged the business design even to address this. So you had what we call this public phone booths. So you could go to a public phone booth and make calls when you're outside home and office.
Hmm.
But even these public phone booths had their limitations. There could be a queue there. Okay, you need to have change on your person to make those calls. So there were limitations, but still it worked. And the profit pool continued for quite some time. And then comes along a new business design completely, which causes the value of these profit pool to migrate. And that business design is wireless telecom. So what is the new business design and what was the old business design? The old business design is the user went to the phone. And the simple new business design is the phone went with the user.
Correct.
So that changed the whole dynamics of communication business. And value migrated from the fixed line telephony to the wireless telephony. And then again value migrated not only to the service providers, but also to all the ancillary industries like they did in the value creation process.
Mm.
Even during the value migration process, all the ancillary industries to wireless telephony, the telecom towers,
right. Okay,
optic fiber companies, all of them began to make money. So this is the theoretical part. What does it translate into actual numbers? Let's look at that with examples. In India, MTNL and BSNL were the main fixed line service providers. So let's take MTNL as an example. How value migrates actually, and value, just to remind listeners, value means profits and market cap.
Mm.
So just look at the numbers. In 2000-2001, about 20 years back, MTNL had peak profits of 1500 crores.
Mm.
Okay. About 20 years later, in the just completed year, financial March, ending March 2019, MTNL actually reported a loss of almost 3400 crores.
Wow.
So from a profit of 1500 crores, a loss of 3400 crores.
Value destruction.
That is value migration. Yeah. Value destruction for the sector from which value migrates,
yeah,
and value enhancement in the sector into which value inflows.
Which in our case is mobile.
Which in our case is mobile.
Correct.
So we just talked of profits.
Right.
From a profit of 1500 crores to a loss of 3400 crores. What happens to market cap?
Sure.
Because we are saying value is both profits and market cap. So in March 2002, MTNL had a peak market cap of 9000 crores.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is down to less than 600 crores.
Oh, wow.
So value migration, both in terms of profits, followed by market cap.
Yes.
So that's a value outflow sector. Fixed line telephony is a value outflow sector. Now let's look at what happens to the value migration beneficiary sector, which is the value inflow sector.
Mm.
So let's take the example of Bharti Airtel, the classic icon of
mobile telephony.
Mobile telephony.
Yeah.
So in 2002-2003,
yeah,
Bharti actually reported a loss of 180 crores because it was in the formation stage. The
Correct.
Business was just coming into, and there would be a lot of fixed costs and a lot of capex and all of that.
Yes.
So in 2002-3, the company actually reported a loss of 180 crores.
Yeah.
And then just in 5 years, the profit went up to as high as 9,000 crores.
Wow.
So from a loss of 180 crores to a profit of 9,000 crores.
Which was like MTNL's peak market cap at that point.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Then that was profits. Hmm. Look at what happened to market cap. From 7,000 crores market cap, when it was a loss of 180 crores, market saw the potential and hence gave it a market cap even then of 7,000 crores.
Correct.
But from 7,000 crores, in 8 years, the market cap came to 1,20,000 crores.
Wow. So that's 20 times almost.
Yeah.
My God.
That's the power of value migration.
Sure.
We saw MTNL, what happened to MTNL, profit to loss, market cap going down by almost 90%.
Hmm.
And here, market cap going up by almost 20 times.
Yeah.
So readers may ask what happens to profits of Bharti after that.
Yeah.
After that, there was competition and Bharti itself went to Africa and all that. So profits have since declined.
Yes.
But during the full value migration phase, that's what happened to MTNL and that's what happened to Bharti.
Yeah. I mean, talking about value migration out here, of course, sector dynamics and why profits go up and down and all that are a different topic altogether.
Right.
Sure. Okay.
So that was one example. But then we have to also prove that this concept works across sectors.
Yes.
So let's take one more example. This time banking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As we know, all the banks got nationalized in 1969. And since then, all the value in banking got primarily created in the public sector bank space.
Mm.
So as we said, for value migration to happen, first the value needs to be created by somebody.
Mm.
Okay. So all the PSU banks created enough value in banking. Then in the early 1980s, the government embarked on a policy of liberalization and invited private sector banks into banking.
Hmm.
Okay. So these banks came up with services which the old public sector banks never offered.
Hmm.
So the main things was ATMs, okay, net banking, phone banking. All of this was completely new for the Indian public, which means it was actually a new design, business design.
Yeah.
And as we say, the trigger for value migration is a new business design.
Yes.
So what was the old design and what is the new design? The old design is simple. The customer went to the bank.
Okay.
That's the old design. The new design is absolutely the opposite. The bank came to the customer.
Sure.
And bang, that created the value migration. So again, let's look at numbers here. The total public sector banks went from a profit of 32,000 crores, okay, in the last 10 years, I mean 10 years ago,
yes,
to a loss of 55,000 crores in year ended March 2019.
Wow.
So from a profit of 32,000 crores to a loss of 55,000 crores, that's the kind of value outflow which that sector has seen.
Yes.
And compare this with what happens to the value beneficiary sector.
Hmm.
In 10 years, private banks have trebled their profits from 11,000 crores to 33,000 crores.
Wow.
So what happened in telecom happened in banking also. Hmm. And this value migration happens sector after sector. We can go into too many examples, but these two suffice that to say the power of value migration.
Okay, great. So Srinath, like you spoke about the profits for the telecom sector, how we compared fixed line and mobile, do you have the data for market cap in the banking sector that you just spoke about? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So what happened to profits gets reflected in market cap as well. So private banks market cap in the last 10 years is up 14 times from 1,16,000 crores to a whopping 17 lakh crores.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah. So that's profits up 14 times. And compared to that, public sector banks market cap is up only 4 times.
Okay.
So that's the huge difference between value outflow sectors and value inflow sectors.
Okay, understood.
Right.
So Srinath, let's get into, you know, the types of value migration out here, because you just spoke about how within, say, the telecom sector, value move from fixed line to mobile.
Yeah.
Then you spoke about the banking sector, how value move from PSU banks to private banks. So can you just tell our listeners, what are the, you know, the maybe one, two or three major types of value migration?
Yeah. So having understood the concept, we've applied our own mind to the concept of value migration.
Yes.
And come up with further granularities to, you know, facilitate analysis. So we see three major types of value migration. The most common is within a given sector. So as we said, telecom value migrated from fixed line to wireless.
Hmm.
In banking, value migrated from PSU banks to private banks. So that is within a sector.
Yes.
Which is the most common form of value migration. Because as we said, it's a new business design which meets the needs of customers.
Yes.
So customers for the sector remain the same. It's just that a new business design comes along and serves the needs better. So value migration within a sector is the most common form of value migration. But then there are other forms as well. Slightly rare. So value migration from one sector to another.
Okay.
The classic example here is steel. So increasingly, value is migrating from the steel sector first to a competing metal, say aluminium, which is lighter and has better properties, but even to a completely different sector, which is plastics. So the whole metal space, in fact, is seeing value migration to plastics.
Hmm.
So that is value migration across sectors, not within the same sector. So steel, metals are losing value in favor of plastics.
Okay.
So that is the second type, from one sector to another. And the third is that value can migrate even from one country or one geographic region to another.
Wow, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
So that is, again, even more rare than across sectors.
Mm.
Because it has to be only in specific cases. Because rarely does value migrate from one country to another. That's not common.
Okay.
But we'll need examples for that also.
Sure.
So the key examples from the Indian perspective is what happened with Indian IT. And the pharma sectors.
Correct.
So value migrated from the developed countries to developing and emerging countries like India.
Sure.
So India today is a major supplier of IT worldwide. And same is the case with the pharma.
Hmm.
The other example not concerning India could be how all the manufacturing value has migrated from the developed countries to China.
Correct.
So China is today the manufacturing hub of the world.
World, yes.
So that is where value has migrated from the developing country, from developed countries to China.
Sure.
So these are one or two or two or three relatively specific cases
okay.
of value migration across geographies. But these are the three major types of value migration that we see.
Okay.
Within the sector, across sectors, and across geographies.
Yeah. I mean, you can see you've got some few other examples that can make our, you know, that would help our listeners to understand this better. I think, you know, for example, from, say, in the case of autos, how within two-wheelers, say, from how people move from scooters to motorcycles.
Yeah, two-wheelers is perhaps the most intriguing value migration example because even what we call the reverse value migration has happened there. So it all started with the four-stroke motorcycles which came in, the Heroes, the TVS, Suzukis and the Yamahas.
Yes.
So value migrated from the age-old Bajaj Chetak to the four-stroke, more fuel-efficient, faster, better bike, say of a Hero Splendor. So that was one level of value migration. And today we don't have Chetak anymore.
Yes.
And it's all motorcycles all the way. But then the reverse started. How value migrated from motorcycles back to the scooters. So again, it was a superior product design. Honda came up with the Activa. And then slowly all value started migrating from motorcycles to scooters. Why? So again, the value proposition of the Activa was simple. The new business design, what we talk of. It was a unigender product actually. Motorcycle is a predominantly male product.
Mm.
And the Activa is a completely unigender product. So with this superior design, you needed one two-wheeler for a family, which could be used by the male of the family, by the females of the family as well.
Correct.
So again, value is migrating currently, even now, from motorcycles back to scooters.
Yes. Okay.
So automobiles is a very interesting example. And you can see value migration all around if we have the antenna for that. So you need the framework first, and then you can see examples all around.
Yeah.
Take aviation, for example. Aviation, it's an example both globally and in India. Value is migrating continuously from full service and airlines to the no frills or the low cost airlines.
Yep.
Because people use airlines mainly to reach from place A to place B in time. Whether you give them food and whether the food is good or hot, all those are secondary. So as soon as you come up with a new business design of a no frills airline, it perfectly meets the customer's need from going from place A to place B on time, fastest.
Mm.
So people don't want to pay extra for the food and all the other facilities which full service airlines needs to provide by virtue of its business design.
Yes.
So value migrated globally from full service airline to low cost airlines.
Yeah.
And the examples can continue. Take insurance, for example. Insurance in India is also following the banking footsteps, actually. LIC was the behemoth of insurance. But along come the private sector insurance, and value is beginning to migrate from LIC to the private sector. Again, new offerings, better customer service and all of that.
Yes.
So a new business design altogether. Take jewelry. People only went to the family jeweler, like they went to the family doctor. Okay, the jeweler met all the needs. But slowly, there was a suspicion. Am I actually getting the gold which is being promised? And there was no way to kind of verify that. But then come one or two jewelers who call what is called the hallmarked jewelry.
Correct.
So there is a guarantee that this gold is of a particular promised purity. If it's 22 carat, 24 carat or whatever. So as soon as this hallmarked gold came into being, it was a new business design.
Hmm.
Which again offered a superior value proposition. So all the value migrated, or not all the value migrated. I'm saying it's an ongoing process.
Yes.
Value continues to migrate from the unorganized small jewelers to the organized jewelers.
Yes. Kind of the same thing that you're seeing happening in retail also. From individual mom and pop shops to modern format or whatever. I think it's called large format retail.
Perfect.
Okay.
So that's happening. In movies, it's happening. From single screens to multiplexes.
Okay.
So I'm saying, if you just have your eyes and ears open, you will see examples everywhere because value doesn't stay, actually. It continuously keeps on moving. And typically the movement is from outmoded business designs to new business designs. And we are in the era of where new business designs keep coming and the value migration will keep on happening. And even you can say what we think is value migration, maybe there is one step ahead of that. For example, we are talking of retailing value migrating from mom and pop shops to the large format retail. Who knows, tomorrow much of the retail may even migrate from the large format shops to online.
Online.
Correct. Online. Yeah. It's already happening. Amazon is the largest retailer perhaps
in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
So we never know where value will migrate next. Which next business design serves the customer better.
Sure. So I'm just trying to understand this, right? I mean, now we're in the last part of the episode.
Right.
And I hear you, you know, mentioned antenna, observe, very, you know, you've mentioned it a couple of times.
Right.
So, if I'm an investor and I want to play this entire value migration theme, and why wouldn't I, right? It seems to be quite lucrative, seems to be paying off for a lot of people towards whom the value is migrating.
Right.
So, last question. How should investors play value migration?
So, why be on the lookout for value migration? What is in it? So, the most important thing that value migration does is, for the value beneficiary sectors, it creates a huge runway of growth. Because significant value has already been created. Now, all that needs to be done is simply get it migrated from one picture to the other picture. So, that process goes on for a long, long time. Hence, investors need to be on the lookout for value migration ideas. In India specifically, what we see is that process is not over. What we've just shown as examples are continuing examples actually. So even for a long time to come, as we said, there's a long runway ahead for value beneficiary sectors. So value continues to migrate from public sector to private sector across businesses. So banking, insurance, capital goods, value continues to migrate from public sector to private sector.
Mm-hmm.
From developed countries to India, again, value continues to migrate. I mean, IT companies have become big, but still there is room to even become bigger.
Okay.
Because no way the Indian costs can be matched by the developed world. So all the digital, smack, cloud, all of that will continue to come to Indian companies.
Okay.
Again, in pharma also, the chemistry skills and the cost which India offers, very few developed countries can offer. And hence, value will continue to migrate in the pharma space also to India.
Mm.
From unorganized to organized is another theme which runs across sectors, jewelry, banking, retailing, footwear, everywhere value continues to migrate. And then from steel to plastic, that's also an ongoing kind of a value migration theme. So all the value migration themes which we discussed are still on.
Okay.
So, and then obviously there will be new ones. So basically, investors need to be on the lookout for innovative products.
Yes.
Which can trigger this value migration. As important as it is to invest in the value beneficiary sectors, it is equally important to exit from the value outflow sectors, because otherwise there will be massive loss of profits and market cap there.
Correct.
So in conclusion, a bit tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
What we can say is the best play to play value migration is to invest in Motilal Oswal AMC.
Okay.
Because over all these years, we've mastered the art and science of value migration.
Okay.
So that's how I would put it to investors finally.
Folks, and on that note, that you should stick with the professionals for your investment needs. If you're looking out to know more about value migration, we just spoke about this topic on this episode of Equity Sahi Hai, brought to you by Motilal Oswal Asset Management Company. My guest, Srinath Mithanthaya, Senior VP at Motilal Oswal Asset Management Company. If you want to know more, check out their website. They've even got a report out there on this topic. And that is a wrap on this episode. Srinath, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anup.
Advertising is dead. Yep, you heard me right. Advertising is dead. We're all in the content business now. Let's not call it news, TV, radio, etc., etc. It's all content, and we're in the middle of this weirdly exciting phase where all the borders and lines that have been drawn over decades has been swept away by this lovely thing called the internet. We're a show where we don't dwell on just the stuff that is now, but rather the wider stuff about advertising, media, content, and the whole goddamn circus surrounding it. Tune in every Tuesday for our weekly unboxing of the mystery box we used to call advertising. I'm Varun Dugirala, co-founder and content chief at The Glitch, and this is my new podcast, Advertising is Dead.
Think fast. If I tell you I'm Parsi, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Dhansak, I don't blame you. My name is Parzan Patel. You may know me as the Bavi Bride. Though I run a popular Parsi food blog, the truth is I didn't know anything about Parsi food until I got married. It was just my luck. He turned out to be your typical sadra lega wearing, kawab khari eating Parsi boy. And the only thing I knew was dhansak, or rather, how to eat it. But there's more to Parsi food than dhansak. And there is more to us than our obsession with eggs and our legendary Rani cafes. Welcome to Not Just Dhansak, a fresh new show where I talk to friends, fellow Bavas and Parsi entrepreneurs about all things Bhonu. A little bit of history, a dash of Bava madness, and a lot of food talk. There's more to Parsis than meets the eye, and there's certainly more to us than Dhansak. Join me every Tuesday as I talk to some of my favorite Parsis in the food space in India and beyond. I am the Bavi Bride, and this is Not Just Anzac.